south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, before we get into mating, dating, love, and romance for gringos and expats, part two. That is part two for 2021, because once in a while I talk about this stuff. And, of course, it's always completely politically incorrect, just how you like it. Hey, you know, I do get hate mail once in a while, and I say, if you don't like the truth, there's a million and one other podcasts out there that'll give you fake news and BS all day long, if that makes you feel better. Because, you know, the truth is sometimes hard to take. So what's it going to be, the unvarnished truth, or perhaps you prefer the lamestream media or antisocial media blowing smoke up your ass? So before we get into the sexy stuff, a couple of emails. By the way, are you wearing your face diaper? All right. First comes this email from JL, a security expert. He says, Johnny, staying under the radar can be a simple process involving several clicks and a few minutes. I'm talking about anonymous cell phone usage now. But you should know that changing SIM card chips will not keep you anonymous. Using a VPN will not keep you anonymous either, although it might spare you from lots of annoying ads and pop-up windows. The good news, he says, is you can stay under the radar, but you must root your phone. That's root, R-O-O-T. None of the above, changing SIM cards or using a VPN, matters when it comes to anonymity, because you are targeted on the root level, meaning before your system even boots up. Think of it this way. The system that makes your device power on knows who you are, and it happens before your SIM card or VPN service is activated. In short, rooting prevents the device system from attacking your privacy. The bad news, of course, is you've been using a device without rooting it first. All the time. Practically everybody does. So you are already targeted and profiled. However, you can still go dark, that is, go anonymous, but you have to start out with a new, fresh device. If you buy an Android-based mobile and activate it without signing into any accounts, including your Google, I'm talking about none. That means do not use your home Wi-Fi or a SIM card to activate your device. Now, I'm not suggesting any particular devices to illustrate the point. I'm not trying to recommend or sell anything here. Fact is, you can use whatever device, phone, whatever, as you like, as long as it's 100% rooted, R-O-O-T-E-D. It can be a cheap-ass device, too, or a flagship $1,000 one. What matters is it must be 100% rootable. And most people have never even heard that word. Some manufacturers allow rooting of the devices, some do not, and some make it cumbersome, while others make it partial or slightly easy. Example, I have two devices, $1,000 plus each, and a cheap-ass one, both equally anonymous. And then JL goes into the complete process on how to root your device. He gives us a solid couple of paragraphs worth of instructions. After that, he says, Johnny, this all might sound complicated, but it's not. By the way, if you want the complete instructions on how to do that, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. He says, I guarantee once you see how it works, you will never use an unrooted device again. All right, JL, thanks for that. But, and this is a really big but, look, I'm a real electrical engineer, at least in a past life I was. And I can tell you this, you are living in a different world than I am, because even I find it a little difficult to follow those instructions. That means if I'm having trouble, 99.9% of everyone else will too, though it's certainly doable if you're a geek, nerd, or techie. There's just way too many ways to get fouled up, including buying or get stuck with a device that can't be rooted. So as far as making yourself as anonymous as you can, here's the thing. If you happen to be an expat with a plan B and you're living outside of the U.S., especially in Latin America or any third world country, the truth is Big Brother does not give one shit about you. However, if you're in the States, they're all over your ass. They own you. I mean, look, you're one for statistics and facts, right? So am I. So remember this. You know, Google and all the big players collecting your data up in the States and in any first world country, they say, and you can look this up, that every first world person is worth over $10,000 as a marketing tool. That's why they collect your data and sell it off to everyone. You, as a consumer they're pitching to, are worth over 10 grand to them. You've heard the saying, if you're on the internet and it's for free, you are the product. Meanwhile, those same calculations have been done on third world residents. In other words, people living in Latin America, where Google and all those search engines have collected data too. Their conclusions being the average Latin American is worth less than $800 as a marketing tool. In other words, it's hardly worth it to market to Latin Americans because their savings, income, and purchasing power are valued at less than 10% of the average first world person. So what does that mean? It means marketers don't really give a rip about people living in Latin America or any other third world country for that matter. So they concentrate almost exclusively on first world people using their devices. So then do those big mega data gathering machines and protocols up in the States file and catalog everything Latin Americans do on their phones and devices? In a word, no. Sure, there's data being collected, but very few entities are processing it. It's just not worth it to them, though in the future it may be. Right now, nada. Remember, there's a huge lag time down here, and 99.99% of all the communications done here in Latin America are in Spanish. So as far as trying to remain as anonymous as you can, you know I'm 100% on board with that. Thing is, it's nearly impossible to do up in the States, but down here in Latin America, it's sort of like it was up in the States 20 or 30 years ago. And to keep it that way, here's a few tips. When you finally get down here, buy yourself a cell phone. And of course, you'll need a SIM chip, right? And you know, smart expats will never buy that chip in their name. But as you know, when you go buy a SIM chip, you'll have to produce some kind of ID, usually your passport or a copy of it. However, you can buy SIM cards on the street in little tiendas too. And let me tell you what happened the last time I bought a chip. I did not go down to the main internet office at Claro, Tigo, Movistar, whatever. I went to a little corner kiosk. They sold me a chip, asked me for my passport. I said, I don't have it right now. It's at the American Embassy getting renewed. Little white lie works every time. I said I didn't have it. But, I said, but here's my passport number. And I pull out a piece of paper and show it to them. They always buy that. They always do. Remember that gringo advantage? They've got no reason to doubt your passport's at the embassy getting renewed. And they want to sell you a SIM chip. They got products to sell. Or you can do what expat Eddie did when he bought himself and his girlfriend a cell phone. He just gave his cleaning lady $10 and said, go buy me two SIM chips. And she pulled out her ID and bought them. She never balked. Didn't skip a beat. They never do. Why is it any skin off her back to buy a couple of SIM chips with her ID? Yeah, starting to get this? Now, of course, you can kill your anonymity in a second if you start loading up your phone with all kinds of apps with your real name on it and stuff, including your email, which is necessary with apps, right? Which is why you should never set up an email account in your name. Why would you? There's nothing illegal about that or any of this. You're not committing any crime. You're just trying to protect your identity and your anonymity. That is, you know, you're right. You've got a right to privacy, which is why I always advise do no internet banking on your phone. You can do it from your computer at home, but don't do it on your cell phone. And, you know, using WhatsApp, which is everyone's lifeline here in Latin America, well, that's an open book, too, and all that data is collected by Google and Facebook, so don't get a WhatsApp account with your real name on it either. And always make sure your GPS location is clicked off. Except, of course, if you're on the road and you've got to find someplace, because finding things here in Latin America can be murder. But only click on the GPS when you're far away from your own home. So Google Maps or Waze or who's ever tracking you, when they send you that monthly statement saying this is where you've been, they'll do that, you know. They're tracking everything. Well, if you never have a GPS on, except when you're far away from where you actually live or hang, it'll never show up on that report. Oh, and if you get a membership at Costco, which is called PriceSmart in Central America anyway, send your maintenance guy or cleaning lady down and get a membership. They give you two or three cards, right? So it'll be in his or her name. Or you can just bring down a photoshopped copy of your passport and use that to sign up. So then, is that illegal? Are you committing a crime? What crime? Tell me, what crime are you committing if you get a card in somebody else's name and shop at Costco? You're still paying them with green money, right? Or green or red or purple, depending on which country's funny money you're holding. But the thing is, you know, you got to plan these things out because it's easy to blow your anonymity in a second. And of course, what a lot of expats have figured out is that to make it easy, all you have to do is use your first name and your middle name when you sign and write things. Suppose your name's Henry Peter Gagorski. Well, you just use Henry Peter. That's your name. That way you don't have to stutter, feel nervous, or feel on the spot when someone asks or needs to have your name. Because it is your name. minus, of course, your last name. Oh, and you've heard me say this, too. A lot of gringos and expats will use their first, middle, and mother's maiden name. They'll skip their dad's last name. You know, that's not a lie or a fib either. You're getting all this, right? Oh, and about internet service and getting a modem and all that. Just go down to your internet provider with your cleaning lady or maintenance guy and have them buy it for you. Believe me, they're glad to do it. No long privacy explanations needed. And leave it to Expat Eddie again to have the perfect line. When he signs up for utilities or internet service and takes his cleaning lady down to the office, he doesn't even have to explain. She's just glad to do it. But he does say this. If you're wondering why I'm not doing it myself, it's because, you know, I'm an extra on Harrow, a foreigner. And not being a citizen, I have to come up with a lot more paperwork. It's just so easy for you to do it. So help me out and let's get it done. And they're glad to do it. After all, you're the boss. You're paying their salary. They trust you. So Eddie just thanks her for making his life easier and simplifying things. And believe me, a cleaning lady making $200 or $300 a month is not on anybody's radar and will never be. Of course, another way to get your internet hookups, utilities, WhatsApp, and all that other stuff in someone else's name is to have your lawyer do it. He's got a staff and they do that for clients all the time. Of course, you'll have to be a steady client of that lawyer. You can't just walk into a lawyer's office and say, hey, can you send one of your staff members out to get me an internet service and a bank account, please? And even though it's done all the time, you really have to be a steady client of your lawyer on a first-name basis with him before you ask him for that favor. By the way, just a little advice about WhatsApp. It used to be that WhatsApp was anonymous and encrypted end-to-end. But since it's owned by Facebook, who also owns Instacrap, they're collecting all that data. So here's my recommendation. You have to have WhatsApp if you're living in Latin America or you won't be able to even get a plumber. But don't sign up with your real name and never take pictures or put documents on WhatsApp and send them to anyone. Like, for example, your driver's license, passport, contracts, etc. I see Latin Americans doing that all the time. But again, they've got no concept of privacy or Big Brother. They'll give their dats away to anyone or any business offering a chance to win a large Domino's pizza. So fake books collecting all that WhatsApp data, which is why, again, I suggest you never post a photo of yourself or any documents. And if someone asks you to do so, an architect, an accountant, a lawyer, tell them no, you don't post personal documents on WhatsApp or social media. Instead, use an encryption app and send it to their email. Though every Latin American's got a Gmail account, which is, again, collecting all data and it's an open book for any kind of marketing. But at least if you send, for example, a copy of your passport encrypted, your lawyer or whoever will have to pull it off Google and unencrypt it in a different file. At least that buffers you a little bit. So the problem is, you see, Latin Americans are completely clueless about privacy and anonymity because the dangers of it really haven't hit home yet for them. But lag time will catch up with them, and soon enough, they'll be suffering the same Big Brother and social media abuses you guys are up in the first world. Oh, and as far as WhatsApp, there's another thing that really bothers me. Every month or so, I get a message saying, just click on this link and they'll store all your WhatsApp messages up in the cloud for my security, of course. Well, of course, I never do, but I wish I could send a photo of a raised middle finger or a dog taking a crap and store that in a cloud. That's certainly more than Facebook deserves. So bottom line, as for WhatsApp, I got a love-hate thing going with it. I love it for the fact that, for once, you're in contact with all your network here in Latin America. Lawyers, accountants, plumbers, cleaning ladies, hardware stores, everyone. But I hate it too because it's owned by Facebook. And you know nothing's for nothing. They're collecting all your data. But if you don't have it, you just can't do business as usual here in Latin America. But you can minimize your exposure by giving them plenty of disinformation, especially when you sign up. All right, now an email from Mike. He says, hi, John. I'm still listening to your podcast and enjoying it. Sorry to hear that your seminar had to be postponed due to the COVIDiacy, but that seems to be where we are these days with the globalists working together around the clock to bring about a new world disorder. Every day, my ideas about getting the heck out of Dodge are more and more confirmed. This land is not my land anymore, and I see no reason to spend the rest of my life here. So, as I get closer to heading that way, please let me know the best way to ship some stuff down that I might need. Perhaps let me know what I should bring and what I should not. I just want to get the residency paperwork going and get it approved. I hope I can move by the end of 2021 or the year after. However, I'm still not sure if or how or what can be done about getting most of my money out of the federal system. I guess I could put most of it into cryptos. That would probably be the safest way to go. I could wait till I turn 59 and a half and try to do something with my 401k. I'll have to keep researching on that unless you have any ideas. Anyway, hope you're happy and doing well, and thanks for the great content and helping folks to get out and escape. Signed, Mike. All right, Mike, thanks for that. You know, I didn't read the whole letter, some personal stuff in there, but this is exactly the kind of letter that needs a one-on-one follow-up phone consultation with me. For example, which shipping companies to use, how to pack, what to bring, how to get your money and finances out of Dodge safely. Because you see, Mike, like you and most everyone else, I don't like to type long, drawn-out letters. I'll get carpal tunnel, and that's not good. In other words, there's way too much to say, and I can't put it down in an email. So, Mike, and for all you others out there working on your plan B, if you want answers to what's happening in your own very personalized situation, you have to do a one-on-one phone call with me. And to set that up, just send me an email, theexpertfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and we can do those talks over an encrypted service, so we can talk about anything you like without the conversation being intercepted, tagged, or stored by anyone else. All right, then comes this email from attorney Mr. A. He says, "Hey, Johnny, hope you're doing well. Still loving the show. I savor and keep episodes aside in the event I get fed up with the libtard crap. I'm still camping out in the forest, but it's still mask Nazi land out here, even in Tombstone, Arizona. As for your new microphone, at first I wanted to strangle your maid, but the bass seems better now." By the way, he's referring to the fact that my maid broke my very nice German studio quality mic. And now I'm using another very high quality one, but it's a different brand, so it takes a while to get the adjustments right. Hope they're okay now. At first, people were saying it was way too bassy. Then Mr. A says, "As for your segues, I usually love them. Enjoy the music and Harley stories, too. Screw anyone who doesn't like your off-topic ramblings. They're certainly better than solar and water filter ramblings. As you know, Harley-Davidson has been in trouble for a long, long time. They'll probably file bankruptcy." Then he says, "By the way, your podcast is still only one of two out of about 70 that I'm subscribed to for which the icon has disappeared. Any idea why? It's moderately annoying. I know it's not the fault of yours, but would love to know the cause and find a solution." Well, Mr. A, that disappearing icon is a new one on me. I will check it out. Then he finishes by saying, "Cheers and Happy New Year, Johnny. Signed, Mr. A, attorney at law." Well, thanks for that, Mr. A. Speaking of off-topic ramblings, you ready for another one? Coming up in a few seconds, but first, here's an email from Tim. He says, "Johnny, just curious, since you have experience in this stuff, I have a metal building. Curious to see if a metal building would act as a Faraday cage in the event of an EMP, man-made or natural. That'd be one of those electromagnetic pulses coming from the sun or man-made. The building does have skylights and windows on the garage-type doors, so I'm thinking it's not a Faraday cage, but wanted to ask someone with more smarts in that area than I have." Signed, Tim. Well, Tim, that's an easy one. A metal building can be a Faraday cage as long as it's got no windows or openings or even slits in the door. For example, you can use a metal garbage can as a Faraday cage, but only if you buy some of that metallic kind of duct tape and wrap it around the seams of the lid, because an EMP pulse will seep in through there. By the way, popular to contrary belief, or vice versa, you do not ground a Faraday cage. Sure, it can be sitting on the ground, but you don't have to attach a ground wire, copper or otherwise, to any Faraday cage. It's not necessary and might even screw things up. Oh, and remember, one of the best, cheapest, and dirtiest Faraday cages in the world is a blown-out microwave oven. So the next time one of yours bites to dust, throw it in the garage or your basement, then put some of your spare electronic equipment and hard drives in it. Believe me, it'll work fine. Don't plug it in, though. Even if it doesn't work, remember, plugging it in would ground it. My advice, snip the cord completely right at the unit, because as you might remember from a previous show, a cord of any kind acts as an antenna and the EMP will travel right down it and get amplified. You don't want that. And with a blown-on microwave, who cares about the cord? Just snip it right at the unit. Snip it in the bud. All right, now a little boots-on-the-ground story that's completely politically incorrect, but it's a theme that's extremely popular, yet we don't talk about it too much. That is mating, dating, and hooking up here in Latin America. Now, of course, you remember we ran out of time last show talking about this subject. But I think all the talk won't stack up or be as convincing as a boots-on-the-ground story. So I'll tell you a typical one. This kind of thing happens all the time. The reason why I'm highlighting this one, because it went on for a period of around 5 years. So it's over a long enough span of time to see it's just not a flash in the pan. In other words, this kind of stuff happens all the time. Anyway, it all started around 7 years ago when I first met my soon-to-be good friend, John Galt. He came to, I think it was my fourth seminar, and he liked Guatemala so much, especially Antigua Guatemala, he never left. Now, here's a guy who traveled all over the world, went to many seminars, even got sucked into an international living seminar in Panama, which he says was nothing more than a slick real estate pitch. And he ought to know, he was in real estate. That's how he made his dough. And lost it, too, in 2008 during the big blowout. So he came down, moved to Antigua, Guatemala, didn't know a lick of Spanish. Now, he told me his goals were simple. He's looking for a great, cheap place to retire, and he's looking for love and romance, too, having been divorced a few times in the States already. Now, first, a few things you have to know about him. He had a terrible diet. Big old pot belly, told terrible jokes, but great personality though. Not what you'd call handsome, but he was tall, about 6'2", 6'3", and he had a funny line for everything. In fact, he told me he hated that old cliche question tall people get asked all the time, how's the weather up there? He said sometimes he'd cock his head, stealthily spit, and tell him it was raining. That's the kind of guy he was. So anyway, after about a month of living in Antigua, Guatemala, he phones me up. He says, Johnny, you're not going to believe this, but I already have a girlfriend. Now, she speaks no English and I speak no Spanish, but somehow things are working out just fine. I said, how'd you meet her? He said, well, I was looking for apartments and she was the real estate lady. He said, yeah, she's a younger woman too. She was around 50 and John Galt was 62 at the time. Then a few months later, I get a call from him again. I said, how are things going with you and your realtor lady? He said, oh, her, she's long gone. I have a new one now. The new one's a beautiful Latina I met at the grocery store. She's one of the checkout ladies. Then he said, she speaks no English and I speak no Spanish, but things are working out just fine. Only problem is, Johnny, she's 42 and I'm 62. She's got so much energy, she's sort of wearing me out. In a good way, of course. Then he said, you know, Johnny, that kind of an age gap is no big thing down here, but if I brought her back to the States, man, I'd be in trouble. He said, Johnny, I promised myself I'm not going younger than that, though. She's perfect for me. 42, divorced, two kids grown and out of the house. Plus, she has a job. Perfect. Then, about a month and a half later, I visited Antigua, Guatemala, met up with them, and I said, John, let's check out some different and new restaurants for the upcoming seminar. So, him and I spent a day making the rounds, and his girlfriend tagged along. She was beautiful, nice, and happy, just like he said. But, as we were walking along, and it was around 8 o'clock at night, so it was dark already, a lady walks out of a coffee shop, struts over. She was another nice-looking Latina, around 50 years old, looking kind of pissed off. She goes up to John Galt, squeezes his arm, and says a few mean and nasty things to him right in front of me and John Galt's girlfriend. Then she walked away in a huff, and John Galt turns to me, kind of gave me a pained look and shrugged. And he said under his breath, tell you about it later. So, a couple hours later, we're sitting at a bar. His girlfriend's in the ladies' room, and I said, what was that about? I thought she was going to smack you. He said, oh, that's another girl I went out with a couple of months ago. We had a few dates. Things were going good until I realized it was just going to be too complicated. She had a couple of kids living at the house. The ex would pop in to see his kids. Just complicated. Too much baggage. So I quit calling her, and she's been pestering me ever since. Small town, you know, Antigua, only around 30,000 people. Then another couple of months rolled by. I get a call from good old John Galt. He says, Johnny, I broke a rule. I said, what rule? He said, about going out with younger and younger women. He said, I found my soulmate. She's 36, extremely self-sufficient, rents out part of her house as an Airbnb, and is a travel agent. She speaks some English, too. And as for the ex, of course she had one, but he got killed in a car accident, and she has no kids. All right, so another month or so passes. He calls me up. He said, Johnny, what's the best way to fire a cleaning lady? I said, why? Is she stealing from you? He said, no. In fact, I leave money around purposely just to test her, and she never touches the stuff. I said, what's wrong with her? Is she no good as a cleaning lady? He said, no, man. She's everything you could ask for in a cleaning lady and more, and that's the problem. I said, yeah, elaborate. He said, she comes on to me. She's in love with me. She told me so. He said, she speaks no English and I speak no Spanish, but man, I can read the language of love and this is just not going to end well. I said, John, don't ask me. You're going to have to handle this one yourself. By the way, she was 50. So anyway, that was the life and times of good old John Galt after he moved to Antigua, Guatemala. He lived there for around 5 years, I think. Had at least a dozen or more girlfriends. All of them younger, even much younger than he. He wasn't a rich guy, just living off Social Security. So his girlfriends weren't in it for the money. Oh, and I should add, before he even came to Guatemala, he had already been through cancer and a heart bypass operation. In fact, he knew the clock was ticking because he suffered a minor stroke, too. Then I got the news. John Galt, who liked to run marathons, yep, even with a heart bypass and all that, he ran marathons. He had a stroke while running one in downtown Antigua. Recovered from that okay, visited him a couple times. Only that wasn't the end of it. After about another half a year, I got the news that he had a stroke while in bed with his 36-year-old girlfriend. He ended up in intensive care for a couple of weeks and didn't survive. But I can tell you, at the funeral, a bunch of weeping ladies showed up and they didn't know each other. And his cleaning lady, she took it the hardest of all. So the moral of this story, or immoral of this story? If you're wondering, especially your older gringos and expats, if there's still a fighting chance for you in the love and romance department, if that's a possible scenario once you get down here, well, I can say definitively, no matter what your age or physical shape or condition, as long as you're not a complete dud or a slob, there's plenty of love, romance, mating, and dating waiting for you if that's one of your priorities when you come down here to Latin America. In fact, after that first stroke, when I went to visit John Galt at his house, and he still wasn't quite 100% recovered, he said, "Johnny, in my 66, or was it 68, years of living, these past 5 years in Antigua, Guatemala have been the absolute best years of my life. I just wish I would have found this place 30 years ago. But," he said, "better late than never. At least I found it." Oh, and one more thing. You know, Antigua, Guatemala is probably the most touristy city in all of Guatemala. It's not really touristy. It's kind of like tree-hugging tourism. Spanish schools with hiking and mountain climbing types all over the place. Not at all your typical tourist trail, but there are a certain amount of permanent gringos and expats there. Lots of gringos and expats own boutiques and restaurants. And John Galt had dated some of those single gringa expats, as well as a select few Latinas, as mentioned. And he told me, point blank, it didn't work out with the gringas. And although they were nice and like-minded, generally, you know, they had their reasons for leaving the U.S. too and getting on their plan B. He said they always tried to drag him to events, meetings, and get-togethers, since gringas and gringos are always busy trying to organize people and save the world. He told me that it didn't take long for him to learn that Latinos are much less complicated and more forgiving than the first world gringas he met down here who were always on a mission. He didn't feel like saving the world, he said. He said after having cancer, heart surgery, and a stroke, his mission was to enjoy himself. That's why he much preferred the company of Latinas, even though, to the very end, his Spanish absolutely sucked. Though he always said it regarding his love life, that didn't seem to make a bit of difference at all.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.